probably going to try to do this month, because I'm going to be in a mess here after starting today in this room. So those of you that are on the video, this is the last time you'll see the room looking like it does. I'm not sure, like I said, what we're going to do down there, but we'll be here. And try to make it as live as possible. But so this thing today, we're going to call this Op 1. You know, opportunities. This is an opportunity. They always call them a photo op. You know, this is an opportunity for me, as well as everybody else, because we are in this together. This is a, you think about it, and I know we're not the only ones around that talk about Paul like we do, and we don't have to interpret anything. There's no interpretation necessary here. You read and you rightly divide and you understand that, you know, the people, for example, in the Bible where it says that they're going to be brought low if they're rich. Well, God isn't going to bring anybody low today because they're rich. So the pastors put that on them and give them that guilt trip. You know, so give all your money to God and he'll bless you back, kind of a thing. So we understand what we're reading. There's no, like I said, there's no interpretation. And the interesting thing about interpretation, by the way, is any private interpretation that's mentioned during tribulation. That's not written, that's not a warning to us, because there's no private interpretation necessary. You just read it. It's in English. It's rightly divided. There's no interpreting necessary there. The anointing, that's during the tribulation. The unction, all this stuff. If people could just get a hold of that stuff, they would realize a lot of things that they've been, you know. Good morning, Noella. And we have opportunities coming up. And I was just thinking the other day, you know, here and North Dakota is about to receive, they have some opportunities coming to them. And these things that we're going to talk about this next month, because like I say, I'm trying to get my mind situated here. We're going to be moving and boxing, and, you know, it's going to be kind of a disaster around here for a while. Oh, I never thought we'd do it again. I think this is going to be our 15th or 16th move. You know, one of these days we're going to stop moving around. Maybe. One more move, but that's not going to take anything with us. So anyway, we're going to look at the opportunities that are coming to North Dakota with us moving up to there. And is it me? No, it's not me at all. Zero me at all. And is it us? Well, as a website, sure it is, but they're going to have some opportunities. And these opportunities are ours. We're aware of them. And it's up to us to, here goes this word, share them with someone else. You know, we're going to have an opportunity to show them something. We're going to have another opportunity to live. Okay, give, show, and live what? Well, let's get this thing together here this morning. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And those that have been through the Baptist witnessing program, where on Thursdays they go out and they door knock and they witness to people and they tell them about the Lord, how they need to be saved, and you know, that kind of thing. And that's all they ever seem to talk about. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for example, here are some people that went out. They went someplace, you know, and it says there in verse, let's go to 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and South Dakota and Texas and Delaware and New Jersey, and I think I got everybody that's here. Yes, Stan and we're... I quite kind of think of what state you live in. What state do you live in? I can't picture it. I can't remember. Stan, hello? California. Oh, yeah, California. Woo. And it says here in Macedonia, Achaia, and all these states I mentioned, we have these opportunities. But also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So we're moving someplace else. We're having another opportunity to spread this faith that we have towards God. They did it in such a manner that when Paul and these guys got there, it says so that we need not to speak anything. You know, Paul and these guys had nothing to say. They'd already Did they hear it? No. For they themselves show, S-H-E-W, that's the correct word, show of us what manner of entering in we, that's Paul and his guys there, had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So these people saw that in their lives. Now, we know today that when we try to do something that's actually scripturally correct, without being arrogant and judgmental and you know, snotty about the whole thing, we just kind of do our thing, it still makes them mad. Well, that also happened with Paul, which, you know, we talked about a number of times. I was talking with somebody about, what should we do next here? Should we go back and go through Paul's life again? I think that would be the third or fourth time. And we realize that his life, not just by what he taught, but his life was full of persecution and harassment. You know, the devil even hindered him. And he was talking about a lot more than just Jesus dying and being buried and rising again. He's had a lot more to say than that, which, by the way, is Paul's gospel, all that Paul has to say, not just a couple of verses in Corinthians there. And it says in verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, which is what we're doing. And he says, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Okay, so this is an opportunity for somebody else, somewhere else, to see these things and to hear these things be talked about here. Look at 2 Timothy 3:10. Let's go just a couple of pages over, 2 Timothy 3:10. So let's spend the next couple of weeks looking at things that people in North Dakota or people around you, or if you meet somebody else, they have an opportunity to learn something, to see something, to hear something. So we have something for them to receive. It's ours to give, okay, and it's ours to show. And the hard part is it's ours to live as well. 2 Timothy 3:10, it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Well, see, people don't know Paul's doctrine. I mean, they really don't. These guys that preach, and, you know, they say, well, yeah, we write it, divide it. Yeah, we talk about Paul all the time. Yeah, you go to Timothy, you go to 1 Timothy, here we go. You go to 1 Timothy chapter 2:3, and you whack on the pastors that are divorced. Okay, and that's all you do. You might pull a couple of things out of Corinthians. You might pull a lot out of Peter. And you pull a lot out of Hebrews. And you pull a lot out of James and 1 John. You pull stuff all the time out of 1 John. But that stuff's not written to us. It's there for us. I mean, there's no doubt. We've learned a lot about what's going to be like for these saints during the tribulation. But we're not in the tribulation. We're not going to worry about the tribulation. We know it's going to be a terrible time. Far more than we've ever happened before. And so these folks that we're all going to run across in our lives, and I'm kind of specifically mentioning this whole thing is about opportunities coming to North Dakota, through the website and through the talk, through the life, the manner of life that I'm supposed to represent within this school system, which we know is just a government school system that's just denying people from God. Now, this particular place, they have a lot of Bible things going on. They got a good news club, and they've got Christianity going on in the school there quite a bit. And we all know that, well, that's still denying them the real living God. Yeah, they're presenting those kids with an unknown God. So I understand all that. So some opportunities are coming to them. You've got some people that you talk with, and they see your lives. They've got an opportunity to see what the living God is all about, and who is he, and what's he done. So, like I said, I'm repeating myself here this morning. We're going to go through some things that these people have an opportunity to receive. Now, here's the first one. Well, we'll save the first one just for a second. Let's go to Acts 26 here. Let's go to Acts 26. I guess I should say that's the second one. The first one is this. Here's the first thing these people are going to have an opportunity to learn or see or whatever. And that's the purpose of Paul. What's the purpose of all this stuff? What's his purpose to go to Paul? And why don't we just go to Paul and we go to Peter and we go to James and we go to Luke and we go to Matthew, you know, and we go to Jude. I think I might have said that already. You know, what you're doing is they're confusing the people. Because one place it says this, another place it says this, just the opposite. And, well, there's more to it, you know. anointing, for example. It's one of my favorite ones in 1 John chapter 2, the anointing, you know. Well, if you really believe that you've been anointed, then you don't, there's nothing else anybody can teach you. That's how it defines, that's how it explains that. So, first your pastor says, well, you need to be taught this, you need to be taught this, you need to learn this. And then you read the fact that he says that, well, now we're all anointed of the Holy Spirit, you know. And, yes, we have the Holy Spirit in us, no doubt, I'm not knocking that. But to say that you've been anointed, and so according to the definition of biblical anointing, you had nobody can teach you anything. You already know everything. So it just, people finally just give up and quit. And kids, I'll say this again, kids see the confusion. They see I'm going to say not answer to prayer, because people are praying for the wrong things and they're living in such a manner that they expect God to bless them when they're good and to curse them when they're bad and chastise them when they're bad. And we know that's not the case. So people just get frustrated and quit. And they turn to get out of this whole thing and they don't get the purpose of Paul. Acts 26, and again, what we're going to talk about here the next couple of weeks, we've heard, we know. For example, this one right here, the purpose of Paul, Acts 26, verse 16. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is where the Lord met with Paul. And he says, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen. You know, what Paul has seen, he's seen some pretty rough things there. And underline that word and, or circle or something, and are those things in the which I will appear. That's future. So whatever it is that Jesus taught to Paul, these people are going to have an opportunity to learn about this stuff, because nobody else talks about it, it seems like. Delivering thee from the people, that's Paul, he can't be buddy-buddies with everybody, and from the Gentiles. He had to be delivered from the Gentiles so he could preach to the Gentiles. That's one of the hardest things about being a pastor, is you've got your friends, and a pastor cannot have friends because he has to be delivered from them so he can preach to them. Pretty lonely position. Now here's what these people are going to have an opportunity. They're going to have an opportunity to have their eyes opened. When you go to visit somebody or talk to somebody, there's a possible opportunity for somebody to have their eyes opened and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. I always say this, it doesn't say from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Christians pull that. There's that power thing again. No, it just says unto God. This is an opportunity for them to truly get the forgiveness of their sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Is that faith in Paul? No, that is the faith of Christ that is in Paul. We'll get to that later. So there's a purpose, and this purpose is coming to this part of North Dakota. Eventually, we'll try to do it properly and safely and, you know, see how it goes. We know that the school is not... Well, I can't, we've been over that thing here. Let's go to Acts 22. So what we're looking at here is we're looking at the purpose of Paul. That's not the purpose of John. That's not the purpose of Peter or James or Jude. This is Paul's specific purpose, and it's to the Gentiles. Well, it's also to the Jews as well, but you'll see that that doesn't last long. The Jews keep, you know, rejecting. God says, you know, Paul, let's just go on to the Gentiles. I mean, we'll come back to the Jews during the tribulation. I'll take the Gentiles out of here, when those that have the Spirit of God, my Spirit in there, you know, and we will then get back to my people. But right now, let's go out there and let's give these Gentiles everything. It's just there by just having faith in me. I'll even give them my faith. I'll even give them the security of being saved, and et cetera, et cetera. Acts 22, verse 14, for example. Ananias is telling Paul, you know, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, as you, Paul, that thou shouldst know his will. So Paul knows the will of God. By the way, for a bunny trail, we've all studied and realized that the will of God, God has no will that you become a plumber or a teacher or a whatever. That's, again, that's earthly stuff. That's earthly wisdom, earthly. That's not his will is for us to follow Paul. That's what the will of God ends up doing in our lives, is he wants us to follow Paul. And he says that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one, capital J and capital O, that's a clue, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. Wow, so this Paul guy, you know, I mean, Christ has died, buried, but then he rose again. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. And yet this Paul is going to have the opportunity to hear from the voice, you know, for his voice. That's spectacular. And then he says in 15, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So Paul's the witness from the living God, the risen Savior, to the Gentiles. So Paul's the guy. So where we're heading up, I can't imagine how, maybe somebody's up there thinking it'd be great to find somebody that's heard, but nobody's preaching what Paul has heard from the just one. Nobody's listening to what Paul has heard and wants to tell us. So if you want to hear what Christ said to Paul, you turn to Paul in the King James Bible, Rightly Divided, which is Paul's books, not just verses based on what school you went to, but the Bible, the King James Bible, plain and simple. Anyway, so this is an opportunity, and you've got people in your lives, when they see you, this is possibly an opportunity for somebody to hear what Christ said to Paul to tell us. And what Paul has to tell us is not found in the Gospels. What Paul has to tell us is not found in Hebrews to Jude. It's only found in Romans to Philemon. It's the only place you'll find it. Now, for any visitors out there or listening to this later, I'm still a Genesis to Revelation kind of a pastor. I mean, you still read the whole Bible. Find out what God was like. Find out what holiness is all about, Old Testament. Find out what the law is. What's the purpose of the law? Find out who the Savior is and what he had to do. And he came down to the Jews. He didn't come down to us. He came down to the Jews. Then he sent the Jews out, those guys out, in early Acts. And then you find out what it's going to be like during the tribulation. Yeah, that's fantastic stuff. But what you're going to be judged on, Romans 2:16, is Paul's gospel. What Christ tells to Paul to tell us, that's what our judgment seat is going to be all about. Which I could bunny trail that thing for a couple hours. But let's not. Let's get back to the plan here. Let's look at Acts chapter 9. Now, this is where Paul first gets the start. And the calling. I mean, Christ went to Paul. The rottenest guy there, the guy that hated the Christians more than anybody else, Christ goes to him and changes him. You know, if Paul didn't want to change, he was going to be blind. Now, God doesn't do that today. Paul doesn't even teach that. That these lost people, God's going to go out there and strike them hard to the car accident, take their children away from them or something, you know, and then they need to know they need to be saved. God doesn't work. He did that way with Paul. God doesn't work that way. Romans chapter 2 explains that in one of other places. Okay, let's go back to the purpose here, Paul's purpose. Look at Acts 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen, vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Oh, wait, and kings. Oh, wait, and the children of Israel. So, there's what people are going to get. That's the Jews hear that stuff. And so we know that at first Paul went to the Jews. Look at verse 20. That's what he taught. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. That's to the Jews. Because see, in the Gospels, you know the answer to this, the story here. That's what they had to believe, is that he was the Son of God. So then I ask people today, well, does believing that Jesus is the Son of God make your salvation? Well, no. Well, then why are you going to the Gospels to tell them to believe when what they had to believe then was just that he was the Son of God? I mean, it can't get any clearer. Look at verse 22. But Saul, which is Paul eventually, increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So that's what Christ told Paul. Listen, go to the Jews and tell these guys, I'm the Messiah. Look what they did to their Messiah. Well, Peter told them that. Sure he did. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapters 1 through 8. Sure, that's the Great Commission. And those he told, they knew that they were a Christian. Now, they didn't call them that, but a believer, because they were able to, you know, signs and wonders and all this fantastic stuff. But if you pull that stuff on people today, what have you got? You got a Pentecostal religion. See, it's got to be rightly divided. So, this is an opportunity for people to hear what Christ says to us, Gentiles, through Paul. King James Bible, rightly divided, of course, because you're going to get confused if you don't. Okay, So here, this is that's kind of the first thing. This is an opportunity for people to receive Christ, obviously, that they say they have. Okay, it's an opportunity for them to realize, do they have the real Christ or another one? Another Jesus or the real one? What an opportunity. I mean, if anybody doubts or wonders, which I know a lot of people do, they just hope they're good enough. They hope that there's, you know, their salvation was real and all this kind of stuff, but they have no way of proving it because they're being taught an unknown God. So this is an opportunity for people to decide whether they've got the real Jesus or do they have another Jesus that Paul's so afraid that people are going to get. So that's what happens to people. So here's the second thing. Now this is going to sound really... most of you heard me say this before here, but this is true. These people are going to have an opportunity to have their prayers answered. Oh, really? Yeah. Sometimes I would say to people, you know, at the fair booth or something, I would say, "Well, you know, have you ever wanted the truth? You ever asked God if you're, you know." Being told the truth and you understand this and that, you have the real God and all this stuff. I say, "Well, have you ever prayed for that?" "Well, I pray for that all the time. I just don't know if I got the, you know, da da da." "Well, here, I'm your answer to prayer." "What?" "I'm your answer to prayer." So you folks out there, you're the answer to somebody's prayer because they're praying to know the truth. They're asking God, "What's going on in this world?" Well, you show up, you can tell them. These people that put their head on their pillows at night, and they had a very sinful day. And they asked God to forgive them, you know, and all this stuff. And then they wonder, "I wonder if I really am forgiven. I wonder if I got them all covered," you know, kind of stuff. Well, you're there, if they're willing, you're there to explain it to them. All sorts of things we're going to look at here. The opportunity for their prayers to be answered. What a thing. Now, they're not praying that I show up. They're not praying that you show up. You are not their answer to prayer, but you are bringing to them the opportunities to have their prayers answered. If they're praying, if they're concerned. We've come to realize, I think most of us, that if somebody in a church, for example, is satisfied with the church, they think the music is fine, they don't care about King James, NIV, RSV, they could care less about that sort of a thing, and they don't understand that the pastor's preaching wrong verses out of different things, trying to apply, you know, that you can lose your salvation in Hebrews and, I don't know, just all sorts of things you can turn people, put the guilt trip on people. They're supposed to escape from the pollutions of the world. How could you work in a company like that when they're such a, you know, bad company? All the companies are bad. All the places all of us work, they're corrupt. And they're not interested in the godly way. They're not interested in the truth. They just want to make money. So, us guys, we're working there. Well, what about the ladies? Well, some of them are working too. They're forced to. They choose to. We'll talk about that later. But is this the way God wants it? Well, you can show them the answers. Possibly your life can even show them the living God and how you've changed, how you've turned from idols to really worshiping the living God, you know, to live in His way. Okay, so let's look at a third thing here. Does that make sense? I mean, the answer is in a King James Bible. These people are praying for an answer. Well, get a hold of a King James Bible, people, and start reading it. You know how many Bibles? Slow down your language there, Paulson. You know, White Cottage, remember the fair booth? You know, how many Bibles have we given to people? And I think it was the last year or two, I started to realize, okay, we're giving these Bibles to people. They have no idea what to do with it. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to start reading in Genesis. Oh, that's interesting stuff. That's pretty neat stuff. But they sure don't want to read about the curses and stuff because the whole feminine world is trying to get rid of their curse. You know, it's painful childbirth. Listen, you can have to take as many shots and pills as you want. You could possibly die during your childbirthing. That's just very possible. And it's very painful. And then the other part of that curse is your husband. We're part of their curse. Now, here we go. I'm just kind of laying back this month. Let's look at that just for a second here. Genesis chapter 3. So if you are those of those Christians that believe in the creation and all that stuff, Adam and Eve and the whole thing. Well, it says right here in Genesis chapter 3. And let's look at verse 16. Unto the woman he said, okay, this is why you ladies have what you have. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Well, everybody knows that one. Nobody I can't wait to have a baby. I mean, you ladies say that, but you have to ignore the pain you know you're going to go through. But here's the other one that people just don't want to accept. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I mean, women just hate that thing. Men don't even like it anymore. That's not part of the lifestyle today. So they ignore that. Well, you got to show them the truth. So they read, anyway, the point is they read a little bit of Genesis, and they go, whatever. Well, I think I'll start reading the New Testament about Jesus. Okay, so they start reading Matthew and Mark, they don't get very far, because this is pretty far out stuff. Miracles is pretty cool stuff, so they think they just need to live like Jesus did and love everybody, and their pastors preach all the junk they preach. They don't get anywhere. So, but when you show up, you've got a King James Bible, but you can show them how to read that thing. So our last year or two at the fair booth, we started to give people Bibles, but we also tried to tell them, here's how you read this thing. It's not a novel from first page to back page. This is history. It's present time, and it's future. You got to know the divisions of that thing. So, yeah, people can get all the answers in their prayers they want. They just pick up a Bible and start reading it. But they go to these churches. What kind of Bibles do they have? If they have Bibles at all, NIV, RSV, the Message Bible, the New Living Testament or whatever. None of those Bibles say to rightly divide. None of those people tell you to follow Paul. They tell you to imitate Paul. All those Bibles tell them to imitate Jesus. Imitate him. How do you imitate Jesus? How do you imitate God? They're told to imitate God in those Bibles. Crazy, And as far as rightly dividing, those Bibles tell people to do diligently or something to show thyself unto God. I mean, his works. They turn that verse into a works verse to present the... I forgot how those things go. So, but my point is, you're not the answer, but you have the answer. And the answer is a King James Bible, and it is rightly divided. And we know that you're going against everything they've been taught. So if they don't, if my whole point was this, if they don't see the problems that are going on in the churches, they're going to care less what you have to say about the risen Savior and Paul and the King James Bible. But there has to be still some people out there that think something's not right here. The music has changed. The sermons have changed. The way we behave, what we're doing, and why we spend all this money on parking, all this kind of stuff. There has to be people out there that know something's not right, but they just don't know what it is. And when you run across those people and you just kind of drop a few hints and they go, I was wondering about why music, man, the music is so bad in our church all of a sudden. Well, let me tell you why, kind of thing. This whole false worship stuff. So, this is an opportunity for people to, number one, be part of Paul's purpose. Have their eyes open, et cetera, et cetera. Two, is to have their prayers answered. The hard thing is they just don't realize their prayers are being answered when you show up. So the answers are there for them. Let's look at one more here this morning. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Here's something else that this is an opportunity now for people to be taught about the dispensation of grace. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote, verse 2. I'm sorry, I got that, Ephesians 3, 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. So Paul's going to tell us about, come on, everybody knows about grace. There's, from Genesis to Revelation, grace is talked about. God's had grace through every dispensation. 38 times in the Old Testament is the word grace. 4 times in the Gospels, but it's still there. 18 times in the Tribulation books, Hebrews to Jude. But there's just something different about this one. Well, this is a dispensation. This is a specific time through the Gentiles the dispensation of grace. So they're going to have an opportunity to learn about the proper application of grace. And it's funny because the pastors need to learn this stuff as much as anybody else. People are always saved by grace in every dispensation. There's been grace in every dispensation, but are they saved by grace only? How can you say that when a revelation has to the patience of the saints to keep the commandments, not to take the mark? What do they have to believe in the gospel? They had to believe that he was the Son of God. Otherwise, they had no grace. And the moment that Eve messed up and then passed it on to her hubby, God could have just said, okay, that's it, boom, done. No, so the fact that this whole thing has existed for all that it had, well, that's God's grace. Sure it is. But everybody isn't saved the same way. Anyway. So, there's all sorts of different uses, all sorts of different definitions and different applications of grace. People have got their own thing. You know, well, I just got God's grace because I'm trying. I'm sincere. You know, I give it to church. See, so then you receive God's grace. All that kind of stuff. No, that's not the truth. These people are going to have the opportunity to hear the truth about grace. Well, for example, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Because of God's grace, they're going to, hopefully somebody's going to find out what it means to be made free. Well, really, we're being set free. No, we're not being set free. Now, the rapture will set us free. We're gone. Death will set you free. But nowhere does it say in that King James Bible that we are being set free. Gospels, Paul, anytime. But it does say, Romans chapter 6, verse 18, for example, being then made what? We're made free from sin. Really? How can that happen? Look at verse 22. But now, being made free from sin. So does Christ just put a check mark by our name in the book of life up in heaven? When you want to be a Christian, you just ask him to be your savior and you put the check. Yep, you're on my list. No, he changes us. He makes us free from sin. How does he do that? Well, see, this is what these people need to hear. You're made free. You're made free? Well, Christ took care of the law. You didn't know that? Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Let me show you this. Let's go there. Let me show you this there, friend. For Christ is the end of the law for righteous to everyone that believeth. See, Christ fulfilled the law. So when we put our faith in Christ, he makes us free from sin. Well, that's different. Yeah, where'd you hear that? In my King James Bible. Matter of fact, this grace is so spectacular, this dispensation. Not only does he make us free from sin, he makes us so all things are lawful. 1 Corinthians 6:12. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Oh, so that means you can then instantly get told this. So does that mean you can just go out and do anything you want? You sigh, you see. Yes and no. As a Christian, you learn that those are things you shouldn't be doing. Paul's list of do's and don'ts is like three times as long as it is in the Gospels, as far as that part goes. But see, Paul's list of do's and don'ts isn't to get yourself saved. It isn't to get yourself physically blessed by God. That's tribulation again. It isn't, you know, it's there. And we find out that God is not going to hammer you because you did something wrong. Now, you can quench the Spirit of God in your life. You can reap what you sow. Things can come back and burn you. But none of it's ever God putting a hammer on you. Another sermon series in itself right there. So, they find out that this dispensation of grace, they're all made free. They find out that all things are lawful. So, the judgment of the things that you've done wrong don't take place until the judgment seat of Christ. This is why you think you're getting away with it. Whatever it is you're doing wrong. Well, A, you know, it's not a sin. It's a work, and it's a bad work. And that particular thing will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the reward or the burning will take place. But you're not going to. Well, I never thought of it that way. That's one of the first things I thought of, was if my sins aren't being imputed to me, 1 John 1:9, why do I have to pray to ask for forgiveness when my sins aren't even there to be forgiven? And they're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So, but see, then here's what happens. We all go to the other extreme. Well, see, we can do anything we want. And I can buy this and go here and do that. I can look at this. I can watch this. I can, you know, da-da-da-da. Yeah, the judgment seat. That's down there. That's after I die, you know. I'll tell you what. We're going to wish we had it done right down here. When we're at the judgment seat, we're going to still wish we'd have done better down here. What's that commercial, pay now or pay later? You know, pay for the thing now. You know, do the sacrifice it takes now to do the right thing. Or it'll burn later on. So better you pay for it now. And it becomes a reward to do the right thing, you know, not to do the wrong thing. That'll be rewarded for that. But see, people don't know these things. They just think this God out there is going to hammer them if they do wrong, and going to bless them if they do right. And when they find out after a couple of years they're doing wrong, that God isn't going to get them, then either they think, well, see, there isn't a God, or they think it isn't wrong because God's never spanked them for it. Thus, we have modern liberal Christians, because, well, God hasn't done anything to them. It's just like a parent, you know. You let your little teenager get away with stuff, they're going to grow up thinking that's right. But when they become an adult, when they grow up, which is what you do with Paul, you become an adult here, you know, quit thinking like children, childish things there, thinking like a child, then they start doing the right thing for dad or mom. Anyway, again, another series of sermons right there. They find out that this grace is about having his righteousness imputed. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. What does it mean by that? Well, Romans chapter 4 is one of my many favorite chapters. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, he doesn't impute the things you're doing wrong to you. He doesn't impute them to you, you know, not impute sin. Really? Yeah, look at verse 11. And he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. What are you talking about here? Look at verse 22. He was, in being fully persuaded, this is talking about Abraham here, that what he had promised he was also able to perform, verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Then it says, but for us also. So they find out that God's dispensation of grace, you know, we're made free, we're changed. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient, all things are edified, blah, 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 blah. And then they find out that Christ will impute his righteousness to us. Now that's grace. So that's the spectacular thing these people have an opportunity to learn. This is... And what we have to make, I have to be the same way. Have to make sure that you watch for those opportunities, and create them if you can. But you have to be careful at the workplace. You got to be careful who you're talking to. You got to be careful how much they can't stand. Remember, now we learned in the tribulation years that words will offend people, and we're realizing more and more that every day that goes by gets people closer to the tribulation, and more people are offended by words. So we have to be careful how we do our words. We realize that people get offended by watching us or seeing the ladies dress modestly and it's a hot day. They see the ladies not doing something all the other ladies are doing. You know, you got the sports thing, and the list is a mile long that women are doing. They're about their flags. Oh, it's just everywhere. Well, they're out of place. But if you tell them that, poof, they'll just get mad. Mad at God, mad at... But let's just show them the Bible. Yeah, you guys have a Bible? Well, no, I don't. Let me tell you about God through this Bible. We're in a tough time. We're getting close to the tribulation. People don't want to hear it. Romans 11:22. When the people are done hearing, want to hear about the goodness of God, God's going to cut off the Gentile nation, and he's going to go back to the Jews. That's the rapture right there. The coming of the rapture is based on whether people or not want to hear about the goodness of God. The only preacher that preaches about the goodness of God is Paul. He's the only one. And that verse is actually goodness, the long-suffering, and... come on now, back one page here. Forbearance, Romans 4:2. These people despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering and knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. These people in North Dakota are hopefully going to hear about the goodness of God. Not the severity, not the chastising, you know, but the goodness of God. Not the judgment of God. They can hear about it, but they don't understand it. There's no fear or guilt today. That's the dispensation of grace. Okay, and we are going to stop right there. We'll continue it tonight. We'll continue it this month. These are ops for North Dakota. These are ops for your friends and for your neighbors. In lots of cases, these are ops for you because maybe you haven't heard all this stuff. Now, those of you that have been with us for a long time, the things that we talked about this morning, you knew those verses, didn't you? And you know the sermons that we preached. You know where you could have bunny trailed off and gone into a whole bunch of other teachings and thoughts and comments and stuff. Fantastic stuff. This is why it seems like one of these days in my life I want to just preach, teach, more like teach, like Paul says, you know, pastors and teachers. I want to just do a whole day of it, 24 hours of it. Just sit down and just start yapping and finding verses and going through the thing. Would it be a biblical commentary? No. It would just be to talk about the risen Savior. And to talk about the Old Testament. Talk about the tribulation. Just talk about it. Well, maybe we'll all get that opportunity with somebody. You all know that somebody used to ask, people would ask me questions. I could just talk for hours. And I have. And I've done that. Just to show them, hey, let me show you this verse. And then this verse says over here, and then if you go over to here, and you go over to here, you see what the pastors are teaching incorrectly, blah, 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 all based on the authority of a King James Bible, rightly divided. Marvelous opportunities for people. And if the as soon as those opportunities are done, we're gone. I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? I'm okay with that. So, we'll see you folks, some of you, tonight.